Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Women's Bible Study on Wednesday night. We have so far in our little group, Megan in Northfield and me, Karen, in Springfield. And we're trying to get Robin and Anne onto our call. And as we're trying to do that, I guess we should probably get started. So we were finishing up the Walking in the Spirit seminar. And we were just finishing up. We had talked about all the attributes of love just recently. And also before that, we were talking about the six parts, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, using the gift of healing, using the gift of prophecy, visions, tongues, and interpretation. Oh, I turned my video on. How terrible. And using the gifts of discernment, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom, and growing in the fruits of the spirits, what does it mean? And also the attributes of love. We went through all of those. So, I believe we have Robin and Anne with us now.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
It's a miracle.
I don't know what's going on, but we're having a lot of trouble with internet and phones out here, so.
We're problem children.
Yeah. Well, you problem children out there didn't miss anything yet. We just introduced and talked about what we were working on, and we're going to be finishing up the Walking in the Spirit seminar tonight. So
we did hear you. We were listening to you.
Oh, okay.
we weren't sure if you were hearing us because you hadn't been able to hear us all along. So
no, I just was talking. So you know how it is when you're talking and not listening.
Well, we weren't interrupting your talking either. There was nothing wrong with your talking. So, did you want to then read this end portion, which is kind of it's not really a summary, but it's just a little ending. I guess it would, how would you put it, Anne?
That's good enough. I can't think of any other way. Just
sure.
And then you can read the first. Then you can read the first scripture. So if you want to read that part, no law can condemn.
Okay. No law can condemn one with the fruit of the Spirit. Law only condemns sin, not righteousness. And then the first
one thing is, before you even do that, what, I mean, I guess one of the fundamental points is how can we not be under the law, but rather what is that righteousness then? Why is it that when we read no one condemn one with the fruit of the Spirit, law only condemns sin, not righteousness? And we know we're all sinners. So how is it that we do not walk under the condemnation of our sin? Do you want to answer that?
Well, basically the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Any, go ahead.
Without that, we would still be walking in unrighteousness, but because he has washed us clean of our sin, we can walk forward.
In him.
In him.
Clothed in his righteousness.
Amen.
But we can't if we don't digest and walk by that atonement he made. I mean, we can know it and still walk under the condemnation, which is by walking in our flesh, which kind of really goes to this walking in the Spirit that we've been doing. Mm-hmm. Because if we walk in the Spirit, there is no sin in that.
That's
and
right.
We find ourselves having fallen, we have grace by which we can stand up again. So God doesn't condemn us. He's made a way because of how we are.
That's right. And we don't have righteousness.
No.
There's no way we can be righteous, but we walk in his righteousness. He earned that.
Amen. He earned it by walking in perfect obedience and then all the way to the cross.
Amen.
All right, so now you can read Romans 3:19 through 20.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
And that goes to, and I think, well, actually, I don't think we're going to read it, but in Galatians, it very clearly gives the purpose of the law. And that's Galatians 3:24.
Well, before we go there, Karen, why don't you read 21 and 22 also?
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen. Hey, well, you might as well finish that. Well, you can stop there because it goes on for a while.
Yep.
I'm just going to really quickly read Galatians 3:24. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. And so the law, as we know, when Paul said, you know, I would not have known lust had it not said, thou shalt not covet. I will say this, though. Abraham knew his need for a Savior without the law. And when I was talking to Margie the other day, because it's interesting, the law was given, but so was the sacrifice. So you had that annual sacrifice of the lamb, which was that type and shadow of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And so it's kind of interesting how by nature, here we have the law. And so we observe the law and we go give the sacrifice, but we're thinking we're lawful by the law. You know what I'm saying? But the law was really there to show us, and it was given to the Jews, but to show us our need for that sacrifice. And the sacrifice of a lamb, the little bleeding thing out there, couldn't take away our sin, which is why Jesus had to come walk as a man, but without sin. So though he didn't have the sin of Adam, Adam was without sin and sinned. Jesus was without sin and didn't sin, and it made him the perfect sacrifice. He could then lay his life down on our behalf. And it clearly says it, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, being God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So if you understand the law and you see your own self, you know that you fall short of it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So you see here where also God had at the mouths of the prophets salvation being ministered, and it wasn't the salvation of keeping the law. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's just the truth. We're all sinners, and we're saved by the goodness and mercy and grace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Megan, did you want to say anything before you read Romans 7:13?
Nope. Are you ready for me to read it?
Give me just one second here.
Sure.
Yes. That was just 1 second. That was actually not a lie.
That was.
Go.
Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
So, of course, I think all of us are very familiar with Romans 7. It's really an amazing chapter on sin, on salvation, and on the fact that in our flesh, sin dwells. It's never going to not dwell in our flesh. It's with our mind we choose, instead of being in agreement with it, to serve the law of God, which is to keep his commandments, to love him with all our strength, mind, soul, and spirit. I said it backwards, but anyway, and to love others. Right? Basically. And there's other commandments. I mean, we've all read the Bible. We've read the New Testament. We know what he tells us. We know, you know, a broader picture of how that looks.
But they all love. Fit under that.
That's right. Yeah. But here he says, you know, here he gives a, because people could say then, well, that wasn't fair of God to give a law that was condemning. And he's giving an answer to that. Was then that which is good made death unto me? You know, no, God forbid. But so that he would know his utter and complete need and the depravity of himself, so that he could know the utter and complete supply of reconciliation to God through that blood. You can't receive the gospel without the knowledge of your need for it.
That's right. And unfortunately, a lot of people out here don't think they need salvation.
A lot of people don't, and I know just personally, you can go through a day and not see yourself as a sinner. Mm-hmm. And praise God, then you find yourself in a place of unpleasantness because in your face is the reality of you. But, you know, that's where you remember again that his mercies and his grace are there just for that, you know. But he does call us to walk in him, which is a choice. And it's one by which the way I oftentimes describe it for myself is I put blinders on to anything else because my natural man will take me anywhere but. And so it's a tool that I'll use where I just don't even look at that. You know, its testimony, its comments, its ways. But anyways, you know, this is Paul talking about that the law itself isn't evil, even though it condemns us. Because we need it to be condemned that we might then be forgiven, if we will. The next scripture, Karen, is Galatians 3:19. And if you would read 17 through 19.
Yes. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator.
Okay, so this is taking us back. Paul's taking the Galatians, actually, back. Now, remember, the Galatians were a people who had accepted the gospel at Paul's mouth, and then turned unto the law. And he's here saying, look it, the salvation was given by promise to Abraham. It was given as a promise before the law. The law then, how does it put it, wherefore then serveth the law? The law came so that we could see our need and our transgression. Now, if you go back and read Abraham's life, you see Abraham knew that he fell short of God and God's goodness. He didn't see himself as being equal to God or a good guy or worthy of God, maybe is a better way to put it. And yet, because he believed God for that sacrifice for his sin, but the law came after that promise of that sacrifice, and the law didn't undo that promise. That's basically what disannul means. I think that's the word in here. And then it goes down and says, till the seed should come. Now that seed is Christ himself, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels. And those are the prophets of God in the Old Testament. The men and women in that sense that came forth with God's word. And then just 21 is one worthy of recognizing. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. And I sometimes think of the fact that God created a plan whereby he himself was going to be born as a man and become that perfect sacrifice. And we know when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a hard thing for him to pass through and go to that cross. He didn't rebel against it, but the truth of the matter is, as a man, he was going to hang on a cross, and the sin of the world was going to be laid upon him, and his father was going to not be with him. And that wasn't an easy thing to walk into. And had there been any other way, if there had been a way for man to have been justified by the law, I'm pretty certain they would have figured that one out, but there was no way. So he had to come to redeem a people, a sinful people. Now we just need to be a people that, through that blood, choose him and serve him.
Amen.
The last scripture here is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
Okay, so I guess it really kind of goes back to what's already been said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Who's a righteous man?
One who believes on the name of Jesus.
That's right, all who believe on Jesus. And it's not that we are righteous, but he clothes us in his righteousness. We're hid in him. And as you said earlier, Anne, our sin has been washed away.
Amen. See, the thing is, the law, and go back to what we read earlier, it says the law only condemns sin, not righteousness. And as we've said, the only way we can be righteous is because we are wearing Jesus' righteous. We have accepted him. We've been washed clean by his blood. That's the only thing that makes us righteous. We cannot be righteous of ourselves.
Well, I know recently, too, Davey had said that it's, you know, that cleansing takes place when you accept Christ. But that entrance into his body does occur through water baptism. That's what that is where you go under and die to yourself and by faith believe that you are then translated, your soul and spirit, into his body. But that place in his body is one that is inhabited through obedience. In Christ's kingdom is obedience.
Amen.
Now, once again, we find ourselves having fallen short, and
you know. All the time.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not all the time, sometimes.
Well, when I'm sleeping.
But we have an advocate with the Father. We have that blood that is sufficient to the end. We have that grace and mercy. Grace makes up the difference. So the way I look at it is when you fall, you can still stand by grace. Now, you have to ask forgiveness. I mean, you have to recognize you fell, but you don't have to stay fallen. You can stand back up.
And you repent.
Yeah, immediately. You know what I'm saying?
You tell the Lord you're sorry, and you definitely are sorry.
Turn from it.
Turn from it.
Yeah. And then seek to do that which you fell from, so to speak. And, you know, it's we'll see that this is a work of God that takes place not instantly in the sense of us, we fall a lot. I mean, we're children, you know, mm-hmm. We fall a lot. But one thing about children and is that, I mean, they have to learn to walk, but they aren't hung up about how many times they fall in order to walk. And when they start to walk and not fall, they still look pretty funny and they're not all that great at it. It's not like they're steady on their feet, mm-hmm. You know. But we all learn to walk and are steady, and yet we still fall sometimes, no matter what our age is.
That's right.
In that. And it's very easy to get hung up with falls rather than to... there's an element of that that testifies to the fact that our natural man doesn't want to be found faulty. We are faulty. It's proven over and over again in our lives, but that's why Jesus died for us. And we got to get over the fact that we're not starling, but he is, you know.
The thing is, sometimes when people fall, they just almost give up. And Jesus gives us the ability to continue on. And so you fall down, so you sin. You do something you're not supposed to.
And even for a long time.
Yes, and you continue that for a long time. Sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to the light and it shows that you're sin, don't let that hold you back. You put your eyes on Jesus, you repent and ask his forgiveness, and then believe him and trust that his word is true, and then go forward. And if you fall again, pick yourself up, look toward Jesus.
And, you know, part of the thing that I have found is, like when you say believe him, I mean, he said that work that he has begun, he will continue. He has said that he is able to present us faultless before the throne of God. And that faultlessness is not in our flesh. It's in our spirit that has come to fully believe and stand because of what he did and absolutely nothing else. And so you have a hope that transcends you. He says that, you know, in Philippians, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, not in my natural man, but through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean he's already done all things, but he knows he can through Christ. And that's the hope we got to set our eyes on. And all of our failures and downturnings should not diminish it. They're just us.
And you touched on this, but I want to share the scripture again. It's Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
And you know something about that scripture. This is Paul speaking about the Philippians. That's the stand he took on their behalf. It didn't mean that they all made it. But he stood in a place where he had a confidence in Jesus. And it's that confidence that we all can, but we got to grab a hold of that hope and not let go. We got to grab hold of that knowledge that God is in fact able, because we see in ourselves so much incapability all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the Lord. That's in our flesh. We're looking in the wrong place. And when you look at James, where he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. let patience have her perfect work. That doesn't feel good to know where you're at and yet allow that patience to have her perfect work to bring you where you can be in Christ Jesus and need to be.
That's right.
But you can be.
And that's where it comes down to. You must believe God. He said he did this for us. Jesus died for us. And we just have to believe it and hang on to it.
And be merciful one to another. We all need that mercy because we can despair. And instead of adding to that despair, we should, you know, come stand next to the person and let them know, what does it matter? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they fall into the mud. We should be lifting them up.
Cleaning them up with the word.
And cleaning them up with the word of God.
Yeah. I always say at least mud's good for the complexion. But not that kind of mud. I'm just, you know me. Some people have met me. Anne's one of them.
I've been Robin for 30-some years, 38 years, I think.
It'll be 39 next month.
That's right. That's a long time to know Robin.
I've known her for longer. That's a lot longer time to know Robin. But I'm learning not to know Robin, but know the Lord.
Amen.
Anyways.
And I'm learning to know Jesus in you.
And not me. Praise God. That's love, right?
Amen.
All right. So enough of that. So whoever is the next reader, if you'd like to just go ahead and read down, and Anne or I or one of you guys will interrupt if we want to add some.
Okay. One thing all true believers must remember, the gifts of the Spirit are given freely without merit when it comes to the believer having the fruit of the Spirit.
Can I stop you for 1 second, Karen?
Yes.
Notice it says one thing all true believers must remember. So this is something that's important if you are a true believer. So could you start from that part and start again that part?
Sure. The gifts of the Spirit are given freely without merit when it comes to the believer having the fruits of the Spirit. The only qualifications for receiving the gifts of the Spirit are, number one, being born again, and number two, having the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I want to interrupt here. You can't earn it. Get that clearly in your head. You cannot earn the fruits of the Spirit. They are given freely.
And so those are the two qualifications, being born again when you acknowledge your need for a Savior and you then choose to believe that Christ's atoning sacrifice is that very sacrifice that has redeemed you. And then having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how could you have a fruit of the Spirit or receive a gift of the Spirit without the Spirit in the first place?
That's right.
So, continue, please.
The fruits of the Spirit are acquired through the process of time and acquired knowledge of the Word. This is called sanctification.
Okay. So this is where it doesn't feel good to see where you're at, but you press on because it takes time.
That's right.
And then when it says, and acquired knowledge of the Word, you got to know the Word, both through your own personal study and through hearing those who rightly divide it.
As you know
the Word, it's work in you. You know, it washes us, mm-hmm. that Word. What was that?
The Word does sanctify, and it says in John 17, talks about sanctifying, the Word sanctifying through. It says in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the word is what sanctifies us and brings us through.
That sanctification is that being separated unto his work.
Right.
Unto his service.
Right.
And I always love the scripture when Jesus was washing. What's that?
Separated and set apart for God.
Yes. Is,
I looked it up, and it, that's what it mentioned.
I think sometimes about when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and Peter said, you know, oh, because Peter at first didn't want him to, and then Jesus, well, if you don't let me wash you, you're not clean. Well, then my whole body. And Jesus said, no. All I need to do is wash your feet. And I think about that because, you know, it's his feet that walk on the earth. You know what I'm saying? In the world. It's just a thought I have when I consider that. But we are already washed. And that washing of the word just washes again. And all of that stuff just goes away. But it does take time. It's not an instant thing. And the way I find it in my life is I can see where I fall short on something, but what happens is I don't see all of the ways that is applied in my life. So I can see, okay, I'm not forward about such and such, and I can see it in an example, but I'm not forward in another 10 million ways that I haven't yet seen, you know? Mm-hmm. And praise God, we have a God that's going to show them to us. And at that time, we can turn from them and deal with them. We can put it off. We can grow strong against it. We can do what it takes.
And I've said before, and I'll repeat it here, he is such a merciful and loving God. He doesn't show us everything we're doing wrong all at once. He shows us as we can deal with it one step at a time, so we can work on one area where we're having a problem and get rid of it. Then he shows us another. And if he showed us everything at once, we'd probably all just throw up our hands and say, I'm going to hell. You know. But he loves us, and he's merciful, and he has grace that he pours out on us. And he just leads us step by step. We just have to keep our eyes on him and trust him, knowing that he knows what's best for all of us, and he knows what we can handle each step of our walk and walk with him.
I also know that when you see things and you come to that knowledge, you actually have to stand in that now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's great to have had an experience and not and quit doing that, so to speak, or did the right thing instead of the wrong thing that was your habit. But you have to then exercise yourself in that.
Yeah.
And stand in it. You know, take what you've got and keep it. And go forward and gain more. Now, you also find that you kind of let things go, but God will bring you back. I mean, it's not a train wreck. It happens to all of us. And it's not like one testimony. It is now the testimony that you walk by, if that makes
Our
sense.
Our whole life should be a testimony to him.
And of standing in that which we now have overcome,
mm-hmm.
and what we know, that knowledge. That's a fight to do sometimes.
Yes, it is.
But we have to realize that which we see, we don't let go. We move on for more, so to speak, that we are service to him and to a world that is dying and going to hell without servants of God. They need a people that are growing in Christ, growing in that knowledge, growing in that hope, growing in all that, you know, he has for us, that we actually will be even as he was on the earth. That's the way he is manifested to a dying world.
Amen.
So, continue, Miss Karen. Oh, yes, and Anne had made the good point about you can't earn it.
As a Christian seeking to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and walking in both the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, we must keep these points in mind and separate both.
Stop there. Just a second, keep these points in mind. The points were: the gifts of the Spirit are freely given without merit. You don't earn them. The fruit of the Spirit is acquired over time. Those are the points that we have to keep separate.
Too many Christians tend to disregard the validity of the gifts operating in a new Christian if they do not see all of the fruits that one might expect. Therefore, let us also be patient and long-suffering when we see another Christian who might not have attained the fullness of the fruits.
Which is all of us.
Mm-hmm. Personal note. I like the personal
yeah.
note. When you
yeah.
see me, be patient with me, for I also have not obtained the fullness of the fruits.
I think we could all read that,
that could be,
out loud.
We could all have our names on that statement.
Yes.
Yeah, well, certainly applies to me. I know that.
But it applies to all of us. That's a thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't yep. Have anything to do with who and what we are in Christ unless we give it place as though it does.
That's right.
And that's sometimes the battle.
I think a good point is if you don't see fruits in someone, you know, be patient. Be long-suffering. Because others have had to be patient and long-suffering with us.
And still are, to be
Amen.
Honest. It's not like we're the brightest bulb in the box. Is that how it goes?
The sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah. I mean, we get sharper and we get brighter, but to pretend that I hear everything that's spoken to me the first time would be to lie.
Mm-hmm.
To pretend that God wouldn't show me something that I just am too dull of hearing or whatever to hear, that would be to lie. You know, even that is swallowed up in his victory if I will trust him.
Amen. And just to go back to that one thing, it says the fruits of the Spirit are acquired through the process of time and acquired knowledge of the Word.
Yeah.
It takes time. So be patient with each other.
And with yourself.
And with, yeah, with definitely with yourself. And definitely the long suffering.
Yeah.
Because he is with us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what Paul said. He said, and let me read it because it's in, I think, 2 Timothy, but I can find it. Let me find it. Oh, no, it's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Well, it starts, and Megan, would you read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16?
Sure. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting.
So Paul here says that Jesus Christ showed all long suffering to him, and this is after he came to the knowledge of salvation through that blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Christ was long suffering to Paul. Why? And Paul's writing this to Timothy so that it's a pattern for those who would for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal. That's us. He had to be long-suffering with Paul. Who do we think we are? You know what I mean? I know myself, it's easy to get hung up because we can fall short.
And we all fall short.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to remember that we're falling short, you know, and as we're long-suffering with other people, that others are also dealing with us, you know, being long-suffering with us as well, and maybe even more than we're long-suffering with someone else.
When you stop and think of the service of the Apostle Paul to the Lord in the midst of that long-suffering of Jesus Christ, you can see how he could be long-suffering with others because he did not see himself as better than them. And you also see in that long-suffering, though, where he would not give any place to that which was not in agreement with the faith or the gospel being our sole reconciliation to Christ. So it wasn't that he was mum and didn't say anything, but he didn't say it to the damnation of another. He said it to the salvation of another. And he wasn't hung up about having to say it and wait until they finally digested it. That's the long suffering. Mm-hmm. He wasn't hung up about it. He saw in his own self where he wasn't perfect either. And he had a knowledge of Christ that transcended those who he was ministering to, and he fell short. Who the heck was he then to have a complaint against another person's struggles?
I mean, he said he was the chief of sinners.
Yeah. And when we are able to be, consider ourselves the chief of sinners, but choose to believe and trust God notwithstanding, what is it to us that another person's a sinner? They really can't go below being the chief of sinners.
That's true.
They're just sinners that in some ways, we all have said it, you know, it's easy to hope for another, it's hard to hope for ourselves.
Yeah.
Paul chose to hope, notwithstanding that struggle with what he saw in his flesh. He did a good job. We can't be greater than Paul, but the Bible does say we can be as our master. Jesus is our master. We certainly can't be greater.
We can't be greater than him.
No, and we can be as him because of that grace, because of that blood, not because of our perfect standing and never falling. And aren't we just the cat's meow? You know what I mean?
We're so perfect.
Yeah. David was the man after God's own heart because his trust was solely in that. And he served God, but when he fell, he trusted God notwithstanding and that mercy, and he cried for it.
And he was transparent before God. He didn't try to hide his sins. He didn't try to hide his faults. He was just out in the open. And God loved that in David. And we need to be the same.
And he was out in the open as king of Israel for Israel to see, too. It wasn't even hidden from Israel.
No.
It appears he had it right. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't struggle, because we have Psalms where you see that struggle.
Oh, yes.
But he struggled through it to get to that place of hope again. Mm-hmm. So, praise God for the struggles. We can't hold them against ourselves. We just got to choose, come to the end of them, and to that truth and to that knowledge of God. That's the thing. And we need to do it quickly because we don't want to wallow in a mud that we may
sink deeper and deeper into it.
I mean, God is so much bigger than all of that. We have a hope that transcends absolutely anything we can do. Anything. Mm-hmm. But it's not like we want to do things either. But he's there. And there is no reason to lack hope. There's nothing that separates us from his love. So let's avail ourselves of it.
Let's just continue on.
Amen.
Let's not give up.
Amen. And to love one another.
Amen.
As we need each other. Alrighty, well, next week we have a new Bible study starting.
Yeah. Don't know yet where, but...
I think I do.
Oh, okay. She's not letting anybody else know yet. Yeah. We'll surprise you next week.
Yeah, we'll surprise you. I'll chat with my fellow friends. But may the Lord bless you guys, and we love you.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.